Good evening, folks. It's Thursday, 28 September 2017. It is 9 p.m. Eastern, and we are on the Committee of Safety Call.
Oh, good evening, everybody. How's it going? I'm feeling kind of relaxed because I just got back from a couple of days of camping as part of my own emergency gear. I was in need of a tent. The tent that I had been using was a little cramped, and I like the ability of being able to disappear into the bush for extended periods of time, and it was a hole in my emergency gear. So I bought, and just for your knowledge, an NTK, and that is a tent brand that is manufactured in Brazil, basically for the tropical rainforest. So it's really good for hot tropical weather. It is incredible high quality. The poles are 11 millimeter thick fiberglass, which is unusual. And it's high quality. It's got a bathtub floor, and it's got a rain fly that goes all the way down to the ground that is absolutely 100% waterproof. And has withstood, according to the reports, many storms. So we went and put that up and enjoyed ourselves immensely with it. So I just got back. Well, tonight I am going to talk about a group called In Power. And they have some interesting approaches to extracting a pound of flesh from the guys that do us wrong. Gary will introduce me to these guys, and he's very excited about it as regards how it is a tremendous vehicle for committees of safety. As I mentioned before, Nikki and I have given you tools with which you can use to build your house, and this is another tool. And in fact, our own NLA member, Laura Legater, is very much a part of this group as well, and in fact, she appears in one of their videos. So their approach is really nothing new. I mean, from my perspective, with my background, they're dealing with liability, and that's the big overview and the big tone of all of this. But they do it mostly through a commercial law process called conditional acceptance. And for those in the advanced classes that have, you know, fared better than most in dealing with the court system, you should know that everything we do in life is a contract. I mean, everything. There is nothing that you do in life that is not a contract. And so conditional acceptance, when you are charged with something by the statutory bad guys, that is an offer to contract. And many of you have heard that before. And the proper response, if you're actually going to engage the statutory courts, one that is probably the best available, it has had more success than others, even though that's even limited, is conditional acceptance. And basically, so, you know, whatever, a sheriff or a cop or the court or whatever charges you with something, you conditionally accept. I admit my guilt. I agree. I did what you said I did. And I will admit my guilt, provided that. And then you go through your list of demands, which those are the 20 questions is, I think it was William Thornton said, they can't answer. And so that's conditional acceptance, and that's the game. So these guys in power do both. They do liability, and they go after them in their individual capacity, which is something that Rod Class talked about many moons ago. And then they do the conditional acceptance. So what I'm going to do is I've got a brief overview that they've written, and I'm going to go through this relatively quickly to give you some idea what it is you're talking about. And so they preface this by saying, this information is not to be considered legal advice. The contents comprise a lawful process based in commerce and should be treated as such. This is released in the spirit of service for the highest good and is not intended to be utilized with the intention of malice, greed, or ill will of any kind. Thank you for being the change we all want to see. And then there's a quote, freedom is never voluntarily given by the oppressor. It must be demanded by the oppressed. And it's from Martin Luther King. So let's identify the problem and the solution. And so they, in this writing, will use smart meters as an example. But I will submit to you that this, to think about this in general terms, because it can apply to all kinds of different scenarios, but they focus on smart meters, and they do a good job of explaining the process in terms of a smart meter. The problem, smart meters are a platform for residential surveillance and austerity deployed in the name of climate action. They are causing microwave sickness, house fires, hacking vulnerability, and our bills are skyrocketing. We've been hoodwinked into financing our own harm, costing us billions collectively. So we have the root causes and the root solutions. Root cause number one, it's harmful, but it's profitable. And, of course, we are well aware of that one. So the solution is correction of the profit motive. Liability is far greater than payoff. And what they're saying is that when you go after these corporate execs in their individual capacity, you make it prohibitively expensive for them to bother you. Number two, root cause is degradation of moral conscience. And the root solution is truth activates conscience. Root cause number three, no accountability. And the root solution is individual liability is accountability. So, corporations now unabashedly run governments, including the legal system. So let's look at how the liability action addresses each of these. First, we are speaking their language of money. The individuals making profit-oriented decisions will be liable for way more than they are being paid to carry this out. The more people that do this, the greater the liability. And that's exactly why I bring this up to the committees of safety. The more people that we have, the more power that we have, and we do that by starting our committees of safety. Second, the clarity and truth within the document holds up a mirror to those involved, so they see the impact of the smart meter agenda. And third, the liability is accountability. The potential liability of an agenda that involves house fires, widespread physical harm, and unlawful surveillance is truly unprecedented. But since corporate interests sway governments and the legal system, they've been betting that we would not be able to convert that potential liability to actual liability. That's exactly what this process does, and it works. Mm-hmm. Both on an individual level to protect your home and family, and the planetary level to halt this agenda entirely and make it so something like this can never happen again. The most important thing for us as a movement is that this solution can be expanded way beyond smart meters. These three root causes of profitability, degradation of moral conscience, and lack of accountability are the same for virtually all harmful agendas on the planet. Vaccinations, fluoridation, GMOs, geoengineering, fracking, etc. So wherever you see the dynamics of these three root causes, a committed action of mass liability can stop the harm, bring balance, and help build a beautiful future for us and our children. We are all involved in a planetary awakening, but the reality here is different than what we thought. So it's already happening. But what is most important is that we don't allow ourselves to get into apathy or cynicism, but instead, we channel that awareness into action, and we engage in an action that has the potential to change everything. And that's pretty much a definition of a committee of safety, if you ask me. This process is going to let those responsible know that they are financially liable for either the harm they are causing or they are allowing. The notice of liability document is the big gun of this process. Everything else is just going to be a follow-up leading to enforcement. There are 12 pages in the notice of liability. This is followed by a 3-page affidavit which is a sworn statement of fact, and a one-page bill of lading, which is a simple shipping document. And I will tell you, I never used a bill of lading, so I like that idea. We will go through the first six pages in more detail, and then we'll swiftly through the remaining ones. And of course, this is in concert with their second video, the one that Laura LaGuerre appears in. So I'll at some point get that posted so you guys can follow along and check out the video. And so they say, let's look at the first page, which is the title page, and it says, Notice of Liability Regarding Trespassing Technology. On this page, we are actually calling out individuals as human beings on the planet. It states for the first time that silence is acquiescence, agreement, and dishonor. This is a self-executing contract. If they go silent, that means they are agreeing to this contract, and there are governing laws within their system that says so, because they are doing it to you now with this issue. And, of course, we have all been suffered as being subjected to all of that. That's very important. We've all been there and done that. Nobody should be confused about that. Notice to agent is notice to principal, and notice to principal is notice to agent. Means if you send it to the top, all underlings or agents are notified. And if you send it to the underling or agent, those at the top are noticed. And of course, you know, in my own personal regard, I always send it to the boys on top. The title is protected, but the man or woman on the planet, so you want to address the title and the man or woman. Who do you send it to? Utility CEOs, utility commissioners or regulators, and two local, regional, and federal government officials who are either supporting or allowing smart meter harm. They are called respondents or liabilities, those that are being held liable for causing or allowing the harm. Non-pro-tunk means with retroactive effect. It means from the beginning with no end. It removes assumptions. You are the claimant or libelant, the person to whom the harm is being done and seeks to correct a situation. Sui juris, which is a word that or a phrase that I use in all my court documents, means I am handling my own affairs. You will never hear me refer to myself as pro se. I know Darash likes pro per. I do not. I like sui juris. It means I am handling my own affairs, not under the power of another or legal disability nor guardianship. It means of one's own right. Can groups be listed as claimant or defendant? The document is written for individuals. Also, we recommend that the husband and wife do their own liability of action. You do not have to be an owner or listed on the utility account. Any man or woman can do this process. And they get into this a little more in detail, but I just want to stop for a moment. And the purpose of their approach is very much the same as FCOS. We want bodies. We want more people. And so what they're saying here is in this process is if you have a smart meter that's going on in your house, your wife should write this notice of liability, and you should write this notice of liability. And if your children are old enough, they should write one. It's all about numbers. We are trying to generate numbers. And that's what we're doing with the committees of safety, and that's exactly the approach these guys are taking. So I want to reemphasize that point. It's all about numbers. Anybody can fill out a notice of liability because it's harming you. You're being subjected to these microwaves coming off of the smart meter. Even if you live next door, you can still do it. Okay, so next we will cover the second element of the notice of liability and why it is important to this document, the preamble. The preamble is essentially setting up the terms of the situation. And I will digress again and say I do like a lot of the wording in their documents. And I will tell you, because I'm an egotistical bastard, that I'm going to take their documents and combine it with my own modified notice to creditors, which is a notice to debtor, notice to creditors on steroids, and combine the best of what they've got with the best of what I've got. And then at some point I'll put that up and you guys can all take a look at it. Demand, according to Black's Law Dictionary, is a word of art of an extent in its signification than any other except claim. So demand is the most powerful word in law and next to claim. And that's what they're pointing out. And a tort is what they get into on what to go after them for money. And a tort is a civil wrong which can be remedied by awarding damages. And then they get into bond. And a lack of a bond generally indicates that there is no liability coverage. And that's very important in this approach because you're going after the CEO of the electric utility. And if they had a bond, he would be protected. Generally, they don't, even though they're supposed to. And if they don't have a bond, then the CEO has to fork up the money out of his child's college fund, and he has to sell his boat and his wife's jewelry. And that's the point. In a recent Supreme Court case, Millbrook versus the United States, the court ruled that you can no longer hide behind your badge or position, and no one is above the law, including government officials. Government officials are not immune if they go beyond their authority. And this is something that Rod Class talked about many years ago. And it simply says that any public official who exceeds their job description is no longer protected by that public agency. And so this law is broken all the time. I know I've gone after the district attorney, and I've gone after judges, I've gone after the sheriff, and they give them bar attorneys that are sponsored by the sheriff's office or by the court or by the district attorney's office. They have the right to do that because we're going after them in their individual capacity because they have violated their job description. And that's no different, as I digress, about a cop that pulls you over. In the state of Illinois, a cop has to properly address himself, and you have the right to ask for his driver's license, his business card, and his badge number. And if he does not supply, he or she does not supply that proper identification, then they are no longer a, quote, police officer with, quote, police powers. Now you're just two guys shooting the breeze on the side of the road. Now, I understand that's probably a dangerous position to take when you're on the side of the road with a cop in the dark on a highway, but that's the truth of the matter. So I just want to make the point that so that you understand it. The next section is situs, and situs is very close to the word site, and you understand what a site is, you know, job site, whatever. Situs spells out the situation, location, or jurisdiction of the matter, all based on the right of contract. Everyone has a right to contract, and it is a common law right and the law merchant. This is where they restrict the jurisdiction. Joining the contract, if anyone other than the respondent, such as lawyers, etc., sends you a letter regarding this liability action, the fee payable by them, $10 million U.S. And I really like that because I've done that before. I'm not interested in a bar attorney responding to my complaint, my claim, I should say, complaint is the wrong word, claim, about the smart meter. I'm not interested in what a lawyer has to say. I'm interested in the CEO because I'm holding him in his own personal capacity for liability. So, as they do in this document, if a lawyer wants to respond, well, that's great, but it's going to cost you $10 million to send that response to me. That's a contract. That's an offer. That's why it's in there. So then we have a guarantee and waiver of benefits. And we also include a notice and a plain statement of fact. Notices come from the common law. Gee, where have we heard that before? In commerce, the Bible can function as a contract when an oath is sworn upon it. Now, those of us in the advanced classes understand we refer to the Bible in a non-religious sense. I do not speak of the Bible in a religious sense. What I speak of it as is a law book, and it is a law book. And the laws are in certain sections of the Bible. And so what they're saying here, again, is in commerce, the Bible can function as a contract when an oath is sworn upon it. The updating of the English language changed the contract without changing the words. The Bible is a foundational law book, and the principles of commerce are in there. And even though they had taken it out of schools, etc., you will still find it in the courtroom. It's in the Bible. It also talks about their system, and they call it Babylon. This is a legal term. This is not a religious term. It's in Revelation 18. Jeremiah 25, it talks about what to do if they won't take the cup. It says to say, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt surely drink. That is a legal term, and that has to do with liability in this contract that they're writing on. If they drink of the cup, it is self-correcting. But if they don't, there is something inherently wrong with the system. They won't then be able to stand in upper jurisdictions and say the system is fine. This is really, really important. We're attacking the system. We're letting them know where the problem is and why they did not play ball according to the rules. And then there's the plain statement of facts. These are facts that they can dispute. The common law comes from the Bible and is codified by William Blackstone. This final document allows them to refute any of the facts within 14 days of the date of sending for respondents to properly respond. If they don't, the facts stand. What they are doing to you, we are now doing to them. The document stipulates that they must reply. Hang on a second. I just had an issue with my tablet. Document stipulates that the reply must be in the form of an affidavit, a sworn or verified statement. In commerce, an unrebutted affidavit stands as fact. And we've talked very, very heavily about the affidavits and their importance. So this is part of the play here. And now we get into conditional exceptions to offer to contracts. This goes into the conditions to contract. First of all, you have tacit agreement, supported by legal maxim, case law, and the UCC. And one of the things that I like about their approach is that they layer everything. They do the layers of the Bible. They do the UCC. They use the merchant law. They use statutes and codes. They use the Republic of the United States of America, and they use U.S. Inc. so that there is no escape. There is no wiggle room. There is no way out. And I really, really like that. So the four elements of a contract, just for review, is the offer. Example, a notice or website posting about a meter upgrade. There's got to be a meeting of the minds. It must include full disclosure of relevant facts and terms. Three is an unconditional acceptance. Conditions of or counteroffer must be met or removed. Consent can be obtained tacitly. Silence is acceptance. And we've also said you got to rebut the presumptions. That's what they're saying here. If you don't bring it up, they assume you agree. That's what this game is all about, except we're turning it around and using it against them. Example, if you put a meter on my house, I will charge X amount of dollars per day, is deemed accepted if the meter is installed or not removed. Money exchange of performance ratifies the contract. Performance is the act of doing something based on the contract. The agreement restricts the jurisdiction, and they cannot take it into a court because it is a private agreement between you and them. As in Canada, the Public Utility Commission member or the CEO of utility, etc. I want to repeat that. This is really important. The agreement restricts the jurisdiction, and they cannot take it into a court because it is a private agreement between you and them. And that's the beauty and the power of this particular approach. In the U.S. Constitution, it says we have the right to contract. This is what we're talking about. This has nothing to do with the courts. This has nothing to do with statutes and codes. This is a private agreement between you and the public utility company. And so they can't take it to court because it's a private contract. This is incredibly powerful. They can't drag you into the statutory system and bar attorneys and all that happy horse hockey. This is beautiful as far as my perspective goes. So what we are doing is conditionally accepting their contract. And if they can't prove the meters do not cause harm, it is going to cost them money. You must talk money. Is that is what they understand, is they don't care that they are harming you. Yeah, no kidding. The notice of liability gives you the ability to obtain a lien. It gives the ability to have a grand jury, get this, it gives the ability to have a grand jury and get people for treason in the U.S. You can use debt collectors once there is a verified debt. This opens up some seriously huge doors if you follow this process. We are at the beginning of that new sunlit morning where we can see the world in a different way, where we have real hope and the ability to turn the tables. You are all involved in something huge. And then, of course, the video that they refer to is 52 minutes long. So I did want to bring that to your attention. This is something that is, as I agree with Gary Will, in that it is an awesome tool for committees of safety to use, because we can hold our feet to the fire. Now, I've gone through one process that I advocate and like heavily, and that is that none of these municipal corporations have the status letter of determination from the IRS, and therefore none of them are legal and binding, and they're all a fraud. However, you're still stuck in the statutory system to go back and get compensation, to get remedy. When you deal with this approach, where you have personal liability against a CEO of the utility, and in fact, I was thinking about this afternoon in some way, shape, or fashion, because all courts of corporations, there's got to be a way to hold judges liable in their private capacity through this commercial process without getting sucked into statutory law. But quite frankly, I haven't figured that out yet. I just haven't had the time to do that. But this is where I'm going with this particular approach. Anyway, this explains the liability. Is the personal liability is the key here. And as I stated, that's nothing new. Rod Class talked about it a long time ago, but he got involved with the statutory approach, and that is still a problem at this stage of the game because of the corruption of the courts and the lockdown. Now, it doesn't really matter in the statutory courts or in a private liability contract if you had the numbers behind you. Now, in this video, they talk about, in a similar fashion as the Edgar County watchdogs, that they're relatively new at this. However, they have already forced dozens, and I don't know the number, I don't recall, but at least dozens, plural, of public officials and corporate executives to resign. And so when I see something like that, then I pay attention. That's when I started paying attention to the Edgar County watchdogs, and that's now why I'm paying attention to these guys and in power, because they are having success forcing powers that be to resign. And so in closing here, these approaches are not new, but the wording of their documents, which is on their website, in power, is good. We talked about this in on our Wednesday night calls. We've already posted it on our NLA Illinois page. I think we may have posted it on the Investigative Research Committee site at this point. If not, I will get around to doing that. So this is the information that I wanted to share with you tonight. It's a very powerful tool, and it is an absolutely perfectly wonderful thing to do with our committees of safety. And so with that, I yield. Questions? Everybody out having a smoke?
I am Valdi. Yes. Excellent, John. Excellent. I love it, what you just said. Let me...
Hey there!
I went today to the code enforcement hearing, the area where I live, and in 1 hour and 42 minutes, they jacked up $92,000 from the 45 code violations One of them is, let's say, if they don't see you a number from the street, you find $1,000. You have a garbage bin in front of your garage, you are fined $2,000. And there was 35 ex parte, that means that nobody was, I mean, defendant wasn't present, and five only asked for continuous. This is the unbelievable. There was sickening to watch. And these people have the greatest time on earth. I yield.
John?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I might add a little bit to what he just said. I was reading where the code enforcement officer was out 6 hours after the storm in Florida, given tickets because they hadn't cleaned up their stuff. And the guys laughed at him, and he says, "You got to be kidding me." He says, "No, I got to do it." So he wrote him up a ticket.
No, it's even worse than that. I've already caught stories of people getting tickets for legally living off the grid for running their generators. I mean, this is the insanity of this final battle that we're in.
Right. Anyway, I'd like to add a little bit to what you said.
Mm-hmm.
Great job. But they have run, they're in their second phase. The first phase, they had 200 participants. And they started out in Canada, I think it was Toronto, and then in the U.S., Detroit and Seattle. They had very good luck up in Canada. One of the top PUC, Public Utility Commissioner resigned. A lawyer resigned that was working with the city because he could see he was in trouble if he took the wrong approach. And similar things happened in Detroit with the lawyer. However, Detroit's fighting it hard. And, of course, it all comes back to numbers, as you mentioned. And Seattle, they just sent in, I think, the last default. They're not going along. Laura, I think, was the one that presented the thing out there, their approach. And they heard them. And then they said, well, okay, we'll start our other meeting. And they never acknowledged anything. So she interrupted them a couple times and brought out some information they needed to consider. So that was the first phase, and because of the success in that phase, they're in phase two now, and they expect thousands of people in this phase, because this thing, like John mentioned, for COSs, it will grow like crazy because we have the organization to do it. And so that's the phase they're in right now, phase two. They are going to send it out to more people, of course, than they did in step one. And their paperwork's been refined, and they expect to have a lot better responses. And what they're attempting to do in the phase two is to stop the installation of the meters and halt it. In phase three, they're talking about millions, and that is the first two stages are in North America. The third one's worldwide, because this applies in almost every country. And they want to stop, the installation worldwide. And I think the power is there. I think if we can work with them, utilizing their documents, that will entice people, because everyone knows something's wrong out there, but they don't really know what it is. And I think this opens up their understanding. They can see they have a purpose. They can see that they can accomplish their task because the time to do it for them. And so we don't have to beg people to get in. They don't want to get involved. and take part and put a stake in the ground and say, we're not going to take this crap anymore, whether it be smart meters or fracking or GMOs or geoengineering or chemtrails. You can use it in almost any situation, which, again, gels your committees of safety, because now you can have this group that's really interested in, say, fracking in some areas of the country. You got these people that are interested in the vaccinations and so on. So you can gain by numbers by all of these different facets. So the power is unbelievable. And people feel that they're really helping everyone. They're providing them a way that they can put a stake in the ground and say, we're not taking any more. And people want to be a part of it. They just want to join, I'm sure. And when you actually send it out, you really feel good because you know you are taking the stand and a proper stand. And so I encourage everyone to really get into this and review those videos and listen to John's tape again, because this can give us the impetus I think we need to get COSs going across the country and generate the excitement that we've been looking for and develop that critical mass. And we will be talking with these people very soon. We have a meeting with them Saturday, and we'll see how it works out. I think that we can work together very well because of the terminology that they use in their documents, as John has always said, and others, of course, too, that if we can use their statutes, codes, and so on against them, we will. If not, we will just ignore it because everything they've done is fraudulent. But if we can use their laws against them, we will. And so that's what these guys are doing. They got a common law background, as John mentioned also. And the document, as John said, probably could be enhanced. And I agree with that. But they're pretty darn good right now. And I don't think that's going to be a problem for us. It's numbers. And once you get the numbers in your community, those board members will resign. And they're seeing that with just the 200 that they've sent out. So give it some strong consideration. We really need COSs now. And we haven't had much activity in NLA on that. There's been very few set up. And I think this will overcome some of that. Plus, now we have issues that we can attack with the documents to back it up. And that's kind of what we're lacking. And it was hard to keep a COS up and running once you got it started because people lost interest. You didn't have a plan of action. So I can't overstress the power of this concept. So with that, I yield.
This is Nikki. Was that Gary speaking?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I heard part of what you were saying last night, and you had given the website. Could you give the website? Because Empower is spelt with an I. I do remember that. But go ahead and give the website, because I don't think John gave it. If he did, it's worth repeating.
Right, yes, we need to do that. Thanks, Nikki. I is in Indigo. N is in Niagara, and then power. It's all one word, movement. Empowermovement.com.
Okay, thank you.
They have all the documents there, and their videos are phenomenal. I mean, they're phenomenal. They've won a lot of awards with them, and they're excellent. Very subtle sell. Go ahead.
No, I just like to add to it that years ago, there was a woman, Victoria Joy, who was going around the country with honor and dishonor, talking about full acceptance and conditional acceptance. Whenever you do anything of this nature, you stay either in full acceptance or conditional acceptance. That's honorable. Dishonorable is arguing or remaining silent. So, you know, using that as the focus point as well as what it is that you're sharing with the Empower is really very, very important, because that's like the funnel through which everything is funneled. You stay in honor with full acceptance or conditional acceptance. And dishonor is to argue, go into their courtrooms and argue, or remain silent. And I yield. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to play off of that with Nikki, and then I'm going to get back to something that Gary said. What Nikki just touched on is what I was alluding to earlier about a conditional acceptance. You know, all these people like myself that spent years and years and years learning about the statutes and codes realize it's a loser. But what it boils down to is it's contract and commerce law. And when you go into a court and you argue, you don't have jurisdiction. You're in dishonor. It's just that simple. I'm not guilty of running a red light. You argued. You're in dishonor. And I could go on forever because it applies to every charge when you go into court and open your damn mouth. And I have tried to explain this to everybody for years, and they don't get it. And I cannot possibly emphasize enough how important that is, which is why I like this Empower approach, because I have looked for approaches outside and above the jurisdiction of the courts. And I mentioned the Lever Code and the Central Violation Bureau in the military. I mentioned the Universal Postal Union. And now we just go back to simple contract law between two individuals. This is beautiful. This avoids all of that. So that was a point I wanted to make on what Nikki had commented on. And then I wanted to make a point on Gary talking about generating excitement. Well, I'm going to take a different tack, but on the same thought process. When you and your committee of safety start to go after these corporate executives in their private capacity, you are going, well, initially, and you know this, as they get into the video, I don't want to hear from your lawyer. It doesn't matter. We hear from your lawyer, you admit you're guilty. Or if you get the usual standard response, which you're going to get up front, is this is all gobbledygook and there's no law behind you and we don't care. You're going to get those responses. So what? That's part of the game. That's just, you know, 101 stuff. But you keep hammering them. You keep coming back with your notice of default and all this other happy crap. You know what? You're going to start getting responses. You're going to start getting action. They tried to bluff you into going away because the 99% of the sleeple are dumb. And in the law, I don't mean they're dumb, stupid, dumb. I mean, they're just ignorant of the law. And they go away, and they know that. So they're going to send you out these form letters. But once you get beyond that, you start to see action. And you know yourself, we have gone into court, statutory court, and there's another hearing, and then there's another hearing, and he's going to respond, and you're going to run, and nothing ever freaking happens. In this approach, your committee of safety, your people, your claimants will see action. And guess what? That's fun. We all like to see the bad guys sweat. We all like to see the bad guys squirm. It's fun. Your people will start to have fun because there's an amount of satisfaction involved that you're finally getting a response. Now, we haven't even talked about the remedy yet. We're just talking about the response. The process is exciting. The process is fun. It's enjoyable. And people like to do things that are fun. And people like to do things that give them satisfaction. And people like to do things that give them results. And this process does all of that. And as Gary said, it is a tremendous tool to rapidly grow your committee of safety. And so those were my 2 points, and I yield.
Yes, and I noticed that Victoria Joy has honor and dishonor. If you look honor and dishonor, do a search. You might come up with some of her work to just add simplicity to whatever it is that is in empowerment movement, because that is just the icing on the cake, so to speak. It all works together, depending on where you're at in your walk on this.
Yeah, I'm assuming that we're going to hear more about this next week.
Ooh, I take requests. Just put a dollar in my tip jar. Doctor, can I play the piano after the operation? Why, sure. Well, that's great. I could never play the piano before. Well, yeah, I can do a little more research into that. As a matter of fact, over the next week, what I would like to do is, you know, I'm my own man, and I like to do what I like to do. So I would like to pull out my notice to creditors, super steroid monster letter, and combine it with some of their language and put it all together, because I really like the wording of some of the stuff they do in their document. But because of my background, I know there's some stuff that I know that I can put in there that's going to juice this thing. And so we can go over that next week.
Well, I said that because, you know, Gary was talking about getting more involved with them. I believe it was this upcoming week. And when you were talking, I got a sense that there was more to it that you hadn't said yet.
Right. We can get into the nitty-gritty and the explanations. I had mentioned, for example, that we could talk for quite a bit on their presentation on the layers of the law. And I had mentioned the Bible, merchant law, the United States of America Republic, the U.S. Inc., the UCC. They do a really interesting job on how they layer all of that together so that there's no way out. Once we shut the door on you, there ain't no way to open it again. And their approach, the way they explain that layer, is really cool. And yeah, I wasn't prepared for that tonight, but we can certainly talk about that because I find that very cool.
Well, the whole thing does sound like it's pretty cool.
It is. Again, we've seen this before. First of all, like I said, it's nothing new from my perspective on what I've already learned. The concepts. And number two, I've seen the success the Edgar County Watchdogs have had, you know, working their process, of course, is the Freedom of Information Act and Open Meetings Act. But I see how this works. I see how it is successful. And so I have the same feeling about the approach that we're discussing here tonight. I see it as working currently. I see it as working more with more people, and I see the snowball effect because of what I had mentioned. People will see results. They get to watch these bricks squirm, and you get remedy, or they just quit. Because the idea here is they make it the CEO of the utility company understands that he is not getting paid as much as it's going to cost him through this claim for $10 million. And so he's going to leave. He's like, man, I can't afford to do this job. They're paying me $300,000 a year, and I'm going to lose $10 million just on this litigation. So people will get excited about that because they're finally getting their pound of flesh. They're finally getting their remedy. And in the case of smart meters, they're getting rid of them. And these are actions. These are results. This didn't require a court. This didn't get dragged out. This didn't cost a lot of money. And it was, as Captain John said, it was fun. So.
Well, I am seeing more people interested in the committees of safety. I had one contact me the other night. He's got a group together that wants to start one up in the state of Washington. And then a little later, I had another one contact me. And so people are seeing the benefit of committees of safety, even without all this you're talking about now.
Sure. And there's a bigger mechanism at play here, and I'm not going to get into this discussion on our COS call, but for the sake of our discussion and the point I want to make here, there are cycles of events, and they're, you know, it's like mood swing. You know, sometimes we're happy and sometimes we're sad, sometimes we're active, sometimes we're not. So there are these greater cycles. And we're just coming out of a cycle of inactivity by humanity on the planet. So no matter what we did, we just couldn't get people fired up about anything, much less committees of safety. And now we're coming out of that cycle. People are coming into a more active, more proactive, more positive cycle. This is just humanity, just a cycle of humanity. And so we're now on the upswing, and it doesn't really matter if we were really good in our presentations or not. We're going to see more action right now. We're going to see more involvement, more volunteerism. So we've gotten out of the doldrums. We've gotten out of the bottom of the cycle. We've gotten all of the it sucks period, and we're getting into a much better period, and it's cool. It couldn't have happened at a better time.
Well, you're right, and I was just going to say that we're in a time now where we better get active and put them together. We can't lose, you know, we got to use the cycle to our benefit.
Yes, yes. And from my perspective, I kind of look in a more forward-thinking deal with my understanding of where we are in this whole final battle and restoring the Republic thing. And I have mentioned this on several of our calls. It has less to do at this late stage with what we do here at winning the final battle. And it has everything to do with Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall, and we got to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And that's what our committees of safety, you know, our work starts after we get our republic back. We're going to be busy for years educating our friends and our neighbors. We're going to spend years correcting all of these wrongs that have been done. We're going to be spending years getting the court system back up and running the way we want to. Well, that's when our work really begins. So what we're doing now is we're laying the groundwork, the foundation, getting our ducks in a row for this continuing, ongoing process of which we will all be called to help restore our republic. And to me, that's epic. That is absolutely epic.
And well, I see the same thing that you're seeing, and you're so right. We are going to be very busy for a lot of years.
That's very exciting.
It is.
I
won't live to see it all.
Oh, yes, you will. Well, I don't know what you mean by all.
Well, I
guarantee you'll be around long enough to see a lot of everything that needed to be done.
Oh, yes, absolutely. But at my age, I'm not going to live long enough to see it all the way through to its completion to get America back where it belongs. But that's all right.
I will tell you that
it's happening.
My perspective is that the essential restoration will be completed in 24 months, and we will be living in a completely different world. yes, with what we do with the court systems, with replicators, with free energy sources, with cars without wheels, with health care, all of this stuff that's been kept from us on the shelves because it wasn't profitable for the bad guys is all going to be released. And in 24 months, we will literally be living in a Star Trek TV show civilization. We should be already. We should have been 100 years ago. It was just kept from us. And we're all going to see that within 24 months.
Well, I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be a very exciting time.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, pretty damn exciting already. Every time I turn around, something's going, whether it's good or bad. It's never dull. I don't know.
That's what I was
going to
say.
I don't know. I don't know what your definition of excitement is, but my heart's palpitating, man.
Well, everything that I've been through throughout my life, it takes a lot to get me really excited. But I will. I'll get there.
Well, if you watch those videos, you'll get excited. You're very well done. And, John, before you close out tonight, you might want to leave the web address again so if someone doesn't have a pencil or anything to write it down, they can go back and catch it on the end.
Yeah,
good idea.
I'm having trouble with my tablet at the moment, but I can see what I can do.
Because
here.
I encourage everyone to view those videos.
Let's see if I get to our Facebook page. Anyway, well, I'm doing that. Next comment.
Did you want me to read that? Empowerment. I-N. It's not E-N. It's I-N. Empowermentmovement.com.
No, Nikki. It's in power movement.
Oh, empower. I'm sorry I used a mention there, didn't I? Empower movement. INPOWERMOVMENT.com.
MOVE.
Thank you. Go ahead and spell it out.
Okay. It's IMPOWERMOVENT.com. Yeah, if you're interested in getting this country back, I think this is the best way to do it. If we can take back our communities, we can take back our counties, and we can take back our state, and then we can have an effect nationally. But a lot of things are happening, so we may not get there, but as John mentioned, we'll be prepared to take it back when it falls down, because it's going to fall down here one of these days. No one knows when, but we're not talking years. It's going to be soon.
And just for general informational purposes, I just took our post on Empower Movement on the National Liberty Alliance page, Illinois page, and bumped it up to the top, and I just shared it to the Investigative Research Committee. So it's in both locations.
Okay, well, I'll make sure I approve that on the research committee.
Do I have to put a dollar in your tip jar?
Two.
And if I may, I would like for anyone who is leading groups, or forming a committee in their area there, to just stick with the honor-dishonor process, and that is when somebody seems to be given a hard time or giving you a hard time or other people, full acceptance, conditional acceptance, is staying in honor. What is it you're trying to get across? How are you trying to get it across? I fully accept what you're saying, or I accept what you're saying, but tell me a little bit more about this, that, or the other thing so I truly understand what we're talking about here. So that's staying in honor within your groups and your committees and allowing them to, or you're modeling what it is that they should be and should be doing. And then dishonor is arguing in silence. So when you see somebody start an argument about something that's said or something that's being done or remain totally silent and kind of drop off, then you'll know that's dishonorable, because we got in this kind of a condition because of arguing in silence. That's how we got in this kind of a condition, and moving forward, we'll either have to stay in full acceptance or conditional acceptance, or we're going to wind up in another generation back where we are today, and I yield.
And just to carry this in a different, slightly different direction, this is a very powerful tool. Now, I do a lot of public presentations, and Gary has seen me handle I really haven't, in at least in the COS presentations, I haven't had any really nasty confrontations. But if you're in a situation, and it really doesn't matter anywhere, if you're posting on Facebook or you're making a public presentation somewhere, and you're going to get some of these paid George Soros shills, these disinfo shills that are trained not to talk truth, not to talk sense, just to harass you. What we're talking about here is exactly that. This is a great thing, and I will specify, I have often been told with a lot of my material, show me the proof. I hate that frickin' phrase. I cannot tell you how much I want to hit somebody in the head with a baseball bat when they tell me, show me the proof. And so with this thought in mind, this is exactly what you do. You can say, I completely, you're he who creates the controversy carries the burden. This is a maximum of law, and this is exactly what we're talking about, being in honor or dishonor. It's the same thing, just different words. And so when somebody says, prove to me you're wrong, you're right, whatever. And my response is real simple. It's that he who creates the controversy carries the burden. You say I'm wrong. Show me your proof that I'm wrong, and I will look at it. And I often now these days, I will also add the caveat that whatever sources you're quoting, please have that source file an affidavit on the information that you were quoting and then email it to me. And you know what? You don't hear a beep from them after that. They go quiet. And these are the buttheads that are trained. These are the idiot screamers that you see in the protests in the street at Berkeley or whatever, and it shuts them down. It shuts them down. Okay, I'm wrong. Show me your proof. Prove to me I'm wrong. But make it in proof that's an affidavit form, which is what we just discussed tonight as part of the process the In Power Movement people do. It's beautiful. It shuts them down. And you can use that for public meeting control. Okay, buddy, okay, I heard you 6 times now. You told me I'm wrong. Please show me your proof that shows I'm wrong. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. So this concept is incredibly powerful, no matter how you apply it. And that was my point. So are you.
Thank you, John. Yes.
Well, I think we are at the end of our call.
Thank you, Robert.
All right, folks. Nice. Thank you all for coming. And take a look at those videos. They're very powerful. And they're like I said, this is fun. We do all this stuff. It's so disheartening and so depressing sometimes, and it's so cut and dried. This is fun. Check it out. You'll enjoy it.
Well, let's all have some fun.